Welcome. It is Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN. Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. Time is 3:09, and there is a story which just broke a little while ago, and that is apparently a car went into the subway at Main and Transit. It's in the plaza there. If you were heading eastbound on Main Street, right after you cross Transit Road, it'd be the one to your right. And I have no word at this point on any injuries. If you have any information, feel free to send me an email, tom@wben.com, tom@wben.com. I've put some calls out, and I'm just waiting to hear back from some people who probably are quite busy. I certainly hope everybody is okay. And it's been a while since we've had one of these stories, and I know at least one of them over the years has been very, very tragic, and that was in the town of Amherst about, what, 7, 8 years ago. Now, on Friday, if you remember, we did a show on the bike lanes in the town of Tonawanda. And the show didn't go quite how I thought it was going to go. People were calling in to complain, I think rightfully so, about the very confusing painting. And they didn't know exactly where are they supposed to make a right-hand turn. And then we got into the standards for marking a bike lane. Oh, it was great fun on Friday. And again, thanks to Lucia for sending me pictures of what people, about the subject, people were complaining, because I'm a visual learner. So when I saw what people were dealing with, I said, oh my goodness, I now get it. And joining us from the town of Tonawanda is the supervisor, Joe Eminger. Joe, thanks. I appreciate your time.
Good afternoon, Tom.
So one of the issues dealt with, I don't know if I'm supposed to make a right-hand turn here or not, and I can understand why, because the solid white line, which used to exist for the right-hand turn lane, is still there, and over it, these little dashes of bike lane indicators, and that is a shared lane. The dotted line means it's a shared lane for motor vehicle and bike traffic, but the solid white line, which has pre-existed for the turning lane, is still there. I can understand why people might be a little bit confused. Joe, how about you?
Well, I can, as you know, this is not a town of Tonawanda project. It's right. New York State DOT. And I will say this, yes, it probably is confusing. Like any time you change anything, with your traffic pattern, it is confusing in the beginning. We are an intelligent species, I believe. Mm. And I think, people will get used to it. We put a hawk signal, very close to right, actually in the middle where these bike lanes are on Sheridan Drive about 9 years ago. And if we can put a hawk signal with getting people to cross Brighton and hoping that people stop their cars and have no incidents since that time, I think people will get used to the lines that are on Sheridan Drive eventually.
But of course, people are used to pedestrian crosswalks, and the hawk signals make them more readily identifiable. And that's kind of a pre-existing part of our infrastructure and has been for a long time. These bike lanes, especially on Sheridan Drive, are obviously new. One of the complaints on Friday was that there should be some educational signs put up saying, here's what this means, here's what that means. And it might really accelerate the process.
I agree with that. I agree wholeheartedly with that. Again, this is a DOT project. This is not a Tonawanda project. Now, we've been very vocal last year before DOT, and we've been vocal over the last week or so. We were against this idea of putting bike lanes on Sheridan Drive, and they being the DOT, they opted to go forward with the project with no input from the town of Tonawanda town board.
It is a state road, though. They maintain it. They're responsible for it, right?
They're responsible for it, correct.
So they have jurisdiction over it, and the town basically can pound salt?
In so many words, yes.
I'm a very blunt fellow. Pardon my...
I like that. I like that. I did listen. I was able to catch part of your show on Friday, and I did catch the discussion because obviously it piqued my interest when I hopped in my car. And I was, anytime someone talks about the town of Tonawanda on your show, I listen more closely. So and one of your callers, said it. He said, I don't agree with Eminger a lot, but on this instance, he's right. Well, that's our opinion. 50% of the people, well, I'm going to take that back. 90% or more of the people who have reached out to my office and the town board over the past 5-6 days, over 90% of the people have supported our position that they shouldn't be there. Now, people are going to say, well, now I'm going to get emails and phone calls. You realize that, Tom, by saying that. Now I'm going to get everybody emailing and phone calling me saying, you know, they support it. You know, the bike enthusiasts, you know, they want it. I understand that. You know, I understand that. But, you know, we have to do as town board members. We voiced our opinion loud and clear. Go back. Anybody can listen to the June board meeting in 2024, last June, not this June, June 2024 board meeting. You'll hear the board very clearly tell the DOT that they were not in favor of this project, and that if there were any people upset with the project going forward, that they need to call the New York State DOT, not the town of Tonawanda supervisor. So the DOT knows where we stood on this project.
Right, but you're going to take the heat because you are the top man in the town of Tonawanda.
I'm not going to say it's the heat. It's my job. It's my job as elected official. They can call me up and people can talk to me. You can't say that to your congressman or state assemblyman, can you? Or state senator. Right? We're the most accessible form of government that people have, and that's why I like being town supervisor. I can talk to the people, whether I go to the supermarket or anywhere else, and they'll tell me what they think, and I like that.
I thought it was all about getting the free tour of the sewage treatment plant at Two Mile Creek. I thought that's the perk of the job.
You know, that's a fringe benefit, you know. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Go there anytime you want. So anyway, getting back to it, you came out on the bike lanes about 5 or 6 days ago and made your feelings very clear once again. And again, folks, this was not a town of Tonawanda project at all. This was a New York State DOT project. The man with whom we're speaking is the supervisor of Tonawanda, Joe Eminger. He had nothing to do with this. He already has objected to it, and the state basically said, yeah, whatever, dude, it's our road. We're going to do what we want. He wanted them to lower the speed. They wouldn't even do that. He doesn't want the bike lanes on Sheridan Drive at all. So have you had any response from the DOT now that you've gone so public? Has anybody reached out to you because you are a stakeholder?
No, they have. You know, they've issued their statement, and in their statement that it was initiated. They said the action was initiated by the town of Tonawanda. That action was initiated, I believe, by an employee of the town of Tonawanda over 6-7 years ago. There were no discussions with the town board or any communication with the town board or their supervisor over the past 9 years I've been supervisor.
But did the employee who reached out to DOT have any authority whatsoever?
He's retired. I believe I'm not sure exactly who it was. I believe I know who it was, but I'm not going to say who it was. But I believe this individual is retired now. And no, he doesn't have that authority. The town board is the only one who can issue that authority.
So that's really kind of a stupid argument, because he may have been an employee of the town of Tonawanda, but you know, he's got as much authority to do that as I would to sell the radio station.
Your words, not mine.
I'm just saying. I mean, that's what it seems to me. I mean, there's a chain of command in the town of Tonawanda, and there's a legislative process in the town of Tonawanda.
We get elected to make these decisions. You know, that's what, you know, people say, you know, these are the decisions we get elected for, and some decisions we can help with. This is a decision that is out of our, we can't do anything about this. So, but we can be heard about it. And last year we told DOT when they came before us that, look, if you're going to do it, we're not in favor of the bike lanes, but if you are going to do it, please consider putting in some sort of barrier between the pedestrians, the bicyclists, the e-bicyclists, the skateboarders who are going to be using that lane. You got to put some sort of barrier, i.e. a curb, that will deter someone from just hitting people. And they opted, it fell on deaf ears. They didn't go with that because, quite frankly, the reason they said was they didn't have the money.
Yeah, the physical barrier between motor vehicle traffic and bicycle lanes is the exception and not the rule. They typically don't exist. They're building more and more of them, but that's not really how it typically goes, even on busy roads, from the research that I have done. The state DOT, if you were a betting man, what is the probability, you think, that they would say, you know what, supervisor, you're right. We're going to paint over the bike line. Never mind.
I would say very slim.
So that being said, the next best option for safety, I think, would be to they need to really take a look at how they've painted the bike lane and people are confused for a reason. I had a chance to look at a static still photograph that I could blow up when I wasn't driving and trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do. And even with that, it's not the easiest thing to determine, okay, which is the dotted part of this white line, because they overlap.
Well, again, education is always important when you're going to implement something like this. And, you know, the DOT is going to hear from me, you know, later this week. I'm drafting a letter now. Mm. And I one of the things I am going to mention is they have to do more education to the public on how to operate with the changes that they made on Sheridan Drive.
Yeah, because people, I mean, when I heard that people were confused about things, I didn't quite get it until I saw it. And then when I saw it, I totally got it. And they're not confused for bad reasons. Now, another question, I don't mean to ask you a question out of your bailiwick as supervisor, but the town police, have they been given something like a course in, okay, here's what bike lanes are, and here are the motor vehicle laws applicable to bike lanes?
Well, I think our town police are well versed in the rules of bikes, so I'm sure they're going to be talking about it in their briefings if they haven't talked about it already. So what I'm concerned about, Tom, one of my major concerns is just last week, Thursday or Friday, I saw a skateboarder coming up in the bike lane, going against traffic, not going in the direction that they should have been traveling in, no helmet on. And I saw a bicyclist. So you're going to have people going against traffic, with traffic. You're going to have e-bikes. You're going to have skateboarders. You're going to have motorized vehicles in those lanes. Just the drivers need to pay attention. And you know, we all know there are no distracted drivers out there, so that shouldn't be a problem.
Never, ever. I mean, that's why you can be behind somebody in a police car with siren and lights and they don't move because they're totally preoccupied with whatever they're doing.
Yep. And they're all in a lot, you know, not to pick on the younger generation, but I had to chase somebody down, 3-4 weeks ago in my vehicle. So they were bopping and weaving going down the middle of the street. And when I tried to, when I caught up to him, he never heard me because he had his headphones on.
Oh, good God. And when, you know, it's tragic, too, because even very responsible people can sometimes forget what they're doing. There was a school teacher who died on Sheridan Drive, either biking or walking, and it's very easy to be a pedestrian seriously hurt or injured in a motor vehicle accident. It happens all the time.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is, you know, we're trying to protect everybody. The people, the pro bike lane people, are saying we got to have transportation for all forms of transportation. I agree with that. I just don't think Sheridan Drive is the venue where we should have them. But you gotta use common sense. Sometimes you gotta use a smell test. And in my business, and in this instance, we let the DOT know last year that it did not pass our smell test.
So you said earlier that the DOT had not reached out to you since you came public or went public. Have you tried to call the DOT, or are you reduced to writing a letter?
No, I haven't tried to call them. I've been very busy answering emails and phone calls, quite frankly, on Friday and today. So I think a letter is the best way to do it. I'm going to put it in writing. Last year they told me that they had communicated with the supervisor's office on this issue over the years, and I called them out on it. I said, I've been supervisor for 9 years, and please send me every email that you have sent to my office, because I can't find any. And I said, please send them to me tomorrow. Hmm. And here it is 14 months later, and I'm still waiting for their response.
So in your letter to the DOT, if you could use emojis, which emoji would you use most frequently?
I'm not going to get to that. You're not going to bait me on that, Tom.
Okay. I had a thought. I had either a frowny face or maybe something somewhat more provocative, and I think I will just use my imagination. Well, I hope you're going to keep us posted on what the response is from New York State, and I really hope that in the interest of safety that, A, they improve the painting and the markings, because there should be some differentiation between the left part of the turning lane paint on the road and the bicycle lane, indicating that it is a lane to be shared by both bicycles and motor vehicles, and there should be signs up telling people what the bike lane is all about.
I hear you, and I will get those points across. And look, the DOT, it's a tough job. Everybody's job is tough here. But sometimes, like I said earlier, they just have to use, you know, some common sense. And I don't believe in this instance that they met that requirement. And you know, we let them know, and I'm gonna let them know in a nice letter. The letter isn't gonna blast them. You know, that isn't gonna get us anywhere. I'm gonna make some more suggestions to them, and we'll see where what happens with it. And if they reach out back to me, I will certainly let you know.
Hey, you know that monument to Philip Sheridan on Sheridan Drive? It was originally supposed to have an equestrian statue of the general. Any chance you can get behind a movement to push an equestrian statue of Sheridan? No?
Well, I heard you mention that. That's been the talk of a lot of discussion over the years. You know, where did Philip Sheridan go run off to? It's Tonawanda folklore. So we'll just let that stand.
Now, I believe John Percy, the historian, actually established that as fact. I don't think that's an urban myth. I think it's actually a true thing.
If John said it, he would know. Anybody?
I believe I read that in one of his fine books.
His books? Yeah.
I believe I did. Yes. Because I know I didn't read it on the internet, because that thought had been with me prior to the internet. Supervisor, thank you very much for joining us, and I'm sure we're going to get updates from you on any response from the DOT.
You're welcome, Tom. Anytime.
All right, thank you. The supervisor of my hometown, I was born there, yeah, and raised there, Brighton Elementary, Benjamin Franklin, Kenmore East, woohoo! Joe Eminger with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Coming up after the break, I wouldn't mind taking a few calls on this because, as I said, Friday's show, it really took a turn, and you guys made me work on Friday. Are you kidding? I learned more new terminologies on Friday than any show I've done in the past couple of months. I never thought I'd be looking up bike lane terminology. And when is the last time I've ever used the word chevron on a show? Are you serious? By the way, last word, a car did go through the subway, went into the subway shop at Main and Transit. And no word on whether there are any serious injuries or any injuries at all. Obviously, we'll have updates as they become available on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hopefully, it's no big deal. Hopefully, it's just PDO property damage only, and we can move on, but I want to make sure.
Born to be wild.
Yeah. I'm playing this one for the e-bike people.
Born to be wild.
All right, it is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney, time is 3:38. And looking at a picture of Subway at Main and Transit from social media, there is a rather new-looking white vehicle that it's not just the tip. The entire vehicle went into Subway, and the rear part of the vehicle is probably about 10 feet, by the looks of this picture, from where it entered. And apparently everybody is safe at Subway. And do we have money yet on, I thought I was hitting the brake, but I was hitting the accelerator, because usually that's what people say when they do something like this. But it could have been a mechanical failure. You'd never know until they investigate it. But the good news is everybody's safe and sound at Subway. So good. Glad to hear it. Very happy. By the way, Kathy Hochul, before we get back to what we're talking about here, Kathy Hochul talking about, oh, I support these Democrats from Texas, these evil Republicans redrawing everything. Anybody see Elise Stefanik's post in social media? I'll read part of it anyway. The worst governor in America needs to be reminded that she conveniently forgot to tell the unlawful out-of-state radical Democrats at today's desperate press conference that she, Kathy Hochul, lost not once, but twice in her effort to illegally draw gerrymandered lines in New York to rig our congressional elections and suppress the will of the voters. New Yorkers rightfully won that fight and have fair constitutional lines as a result of that victory. Elise Stefanik on, I got it on Facebook. It is 3 40 at News Radio 930 WBEN. And I want to get back to this whole bike lanes in the Tonawanda on Sheridan Drive thing, because we talked about it on Friday. And I've said this a few times, but it was really kind of funny because I thought the show was going to go one way, and it didn't. It went totally in a direction I had not anticipated. And what it turned out to be was a bunch of people calling in because we were really, really confused about bike lanes and what to do. And one of the biggest questions was, I don't know if I'm supposed to take a right-hand turn because it looks like the bike lane. And that is a great point. And given the way they painted it, it obviously looks like it's the bike lane, or it looks like it's someplace you shouldn't be. And especially if they don't put signs up explaining, hey, here is what it means when you see this line. It means it is a lane to be shared by both cars and cars and bicycles. Knock yourself out. Doesn't say that. You're on your own. Got to do your own research, apparently. But anyway, any issues with the bike path on Sheridan Drive in Tonawanda? Any continuing issue? I got more email on that subject than any other recent subject I've actually covered, which I thought was somewhat disturbing, actually, because we've covered some really good things. But are you one of these people who is not in favor of the bike lanes on Sheridan Drive? Are you a bicyclist who uses the bike lane on Sheridan Drive and think, my goodness, this is a godsend, this is the best thing ever? I said this on Friday, but my own personal opinion is I am somewhat reluctant to see bikes on heavily traveled streets where you've got a 40-mile-an-hour speed limit, just out of safety concerns, because there are many distracted drivers and, frankly, people who don't know what they're doing driving. And if you doubt what I'm saying, go to any parking lot anywhere, just sit back and grab some popcorn and watch the mayhem ensue. The phone number is 803-0930, 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And one of the specifics I just want to ask you is, do you believe that if they did a better job painting the lines, and if they put some signs up, just really easy to understand signs that people can look at as they're driving to explain, this means you can be here, this means you can't be here in a car, I think that would be extremely helpful. But to me, anyway, there are two big issues. Number one, they really pooped the bed painting the bicycle lines on Sheridan Drive in many places, okay? In particular, where you're putting the dashed lines over a solid white line and they overlap 75, 80%. Really? I'm sorry. Who had that idea? That wasn't good communication whatsoever. So that's a concern. And to those of you who called in Friday and said, am I able to turn right? I mean, if it is a bike lane exclusively, your car or motor vehicle should never enter it. It is sacrosanct. However, if it is a dashed white line, then it can be shared by both motor vehicles and bicycles. Not to be confused at all, right? Especially when you have a solid white line for the right turn lane and superimposed over it is a dashed line. What in the good hell do you do? Well, you know what to do if you listen to the show on Friday. Is there anybody else who has something to say about the bike path, not the bike path, but the bike lanes on Sheridan Drive and how confusing they are, whether they should be there or not? And do you think the town of Tonawanda is going to get rid of those with the state DOT? And I happen to share the supervisor's belief that the DOT is not going to do away with the bike lanes. Okay. Obviously, they've got an agenda and they want to push the agenda because they'd like everybody on bikes in small cities, easily controlled. They don't want people to have freedom. I get that. So that's my opinion anyway. So anyway, they're going to keep the bike lanes there as I see it. Even if 50 people get killed, they're going to keep the bike lanes. And I hope 50 people don't get killed. And I'm not thinking they are, at least not in the next year. Over time, you never know. I hope not, but probably could happen. But the bike lanes themselves, and I will say this much, historically, as a driver who has many miles under his belt, let me rephrase this. As a driver who has many miles experience driving, much purer sounding, thank you, I have found that the people who use the bike lanes are the, I'm going to call them the professional cyclists. Talk about this on Friday. They're the people who are well illuminated at night or at dusk. They're the people who use hand signals. They're the people with the helmets. And you can just tell, oh, this person knows what they're doing. Look, they're using hand signals to say, I'm stopping, I'm turning. Okay, outstanding. Doesn't bother me at all. What concerns me is the e-bikes, Those e-bikes are simply madness. They are madness. If I had little kids, I would not get them an e-bike. If I had a teenager, I would not get them an e-bike. No, you're going to pedal like I did, kid. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Speak now or forever hold your tongue. Let's go to Tim in Kenmore on WBEN. Hello, Tim.
Tom, how are you today?
Magnificent, sir. Thank you.
Great, great. Good to talk to you. Yeah, just a comment on this insanity. You grew up here. I grew up there around Sheridan Drive, not far from Sheridan Drive when we were kids.
Yep.
It was never even a thought except for here and there that you would ever think of riding your bike on Sheridan to begin with. And it's something you grew up with, like, okay, I'm going to cross or I'm going to take a little run down Sheridan. But you never used that as a bike lane, a bike avenue, other than the sidewalk, if you had any brains at all. So the DOT obviously has no brains. You don't cross solid lines as a driver, usually, or you pay attention if they're white or they're yellow. The confusion is easily seen where people are elderly people or anybody that says, you know, should I really cross this bike lane? Do I got to look behind me now to look for a bike? What's the biker guy doing? It's at the speeds that Sheridan Drive achieves. It's complete. Utter foolishness.
Before I entertain this, before I entertain you any further, I need a definition. At what age do you believe somebody becomes elderly? Be careful.
Well, I know I am, I guess, by definition, but, you know, 50 plus, I guess.
60. Oh, man. Okay, you just put a knife into a lot of hearts out there. All right, 50 plus is elderly. All right, okay, I'll take that. That's actually a good question for a talk show. What age are you elderly? Because nobody likes to be called elderly because it's over, you know?
Right, so now, me personally, I'm feeling 90 plus. Anyway, so go ahead.
That's a big club. I mean, it's okay. It's all right. Do away with the seat oils. You'll feel a lot better. So anyway, But you're talking about Sheridan Drive, and those who don't know, I'm sure wherever you grew up in Western New York, near your home, there was a well-traveled road that gave your parents nightmares. If you said, absolutely, I have to go to so-and-so's house, and I have to cross this street, the night before you went, I guarantee they were probably apoplectic with worry and anxiety. And in our house, at least for me, Sheridan Drive was that road, and we had to cross it every day walking to junior high school. And they had crossing guards there, but even with the crossing guard, oh my goodness, my father was absolutely, he had anxiety attacks. So make sure you look both ways. Can't trust those crossing guards. Like, okay, all right.
No question about it. And there are plenty of roads around Western New York like this that have been converted to this nonsense. And the traffic calming, it does anything but calm you. It's a, you know, that's just a unbelievable thing to begin with. But the bicycle contingent is super small. I ride a bike every day. I live off Colvin, not far from Sheridan. I don't make it a habit to ride on Colvin. I go up on the sidewalk, and that's fine. And, you know, when traffic's light or whatever, then I might venture into the street a bit. But it's all common sense. It's all common sense, and there's just such lack of it when it comes to roads and bike lanes and bike barriers and lines and signs. It's like everywhere a sign. Go away. Please, just go away.
Yeah, good point. And by the way, you've talked about riding bikes on the sidewalk. In some municipalities, it's actually illegal for people over a certain age to ride their bicycles on sidewalks. Did you know that?
The elderly. I can't ride. Well,
you know what? Those codes were actually put in when people actually went outside, when kids actually went outside to play. And most sidewalks are pretty deserted now. And if you've noticed, there's a trend among pedestrians. You can have perfectly awesome sidewalks around you. And where do people walk? In the street.
Right. And again, same thing. The sidewalks are very low populated. And so are the bike lanes. They act and they put these bike lanes in like there's 4,000 a day running on these bike lanes. And it's not the case. It's like 4,000.
Well, I'm going to assign you to count tomorrow. What are you doing between 6 and 6?
Hey, look at I ride my bike every day, and I'm a lone ranger out there most of the time.
You know, pick a spot, stay in it for 12 hours, bring hydration and a sunshade. All right, man. Thanks very much. I appreciate the call. He does not want to see bike lanes on Sheridan Drive. I was wondering if have we cleared up the marking situation? Because I was throwing off a lot of people on Friday, and at first I couldn't quite grasp it, okay? Because I don't learn when people try to explain something to me with words that is actually visual. I do a lot better when I actually see the visual, and then I can translate the visual into words and tell you a story. With my many years of broadcasting experience, I can paint you a fine picture. But once I saw the pictures, oh my goodness, no wonder these people are confused. Any lingering calls on the bicycle lanes on Sheridan Drive in Tonawanda or any other bicycle lane in Western New York that is either your pride and joy or the bane and wormwood of your existence? And I'm going to repeat something that I've said many a time, and that is this. The state DOT needs to do a couple of things. If the bike lanes are there to stay, okay, they need to understand that the town of Tonawanda has become a rather graying community, okay? And I don't know about you, but I don't take too kindly to change. Do you? Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying. I mean, change ain't looking for friends. I get that. But it's a little tough to change and adapt. But even the younger drivers, I mean, this is going to be kind of new for them too. If you're going to do a bike lane, you really need to put little signs up to tell people what the markings mean. And you got to do a better job painting the road. In particular, you don't put white over white and expect people to say, oh, well, see, that's newer white and that's older white. No, that's a bad idea. Because these people who called in are not stupid people. They're smart. They didn't know if they should make a right-hand turn or not. They didn't want to impinge on the bike lane. Let's go to Dan in Tonawanda. We're going to call him Dirty Dan on WBEN. Hello, Dan. You're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Tom. How you doing? Listen.
It's not, by the way, it's not Landslide Dan anymore. It's Dirty Dan. Watch your tongue, sir.
You know, honest to God, I was actually saying, you know, Battleship, ship. I wasn't saying what you thought, so I think you guys misunderstood
well,
me on that.
I didn't take you for an excremental fellow, so not a scatological aficionado. So
I
go ahead.
I got a dirty tongue, but I'm not going to put your show in jeopardy, Tom.
Thank you.
I've never once swore in the air.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
for misunderstanding.
That being said, you know, these bike lanes that they're putting all over the streets, you know, I always say in America we lost all common sense. You know, I'm a guy that's got white hair, gray hair, and I get ID'd. It makes no sense to me. And this is another example. These bike lanes make no sense. You wouldn't catch me dead driving on Sheridan driving on a bicycle. I'd be on the sidewalk each and every time. And I love bicycles. I have nothing against them. But I can remember when they were putting the bike pass in, the big thing was, oh, we're going to get more bicyclists off the road. It's going to be safer for everybody. You remember that? That was the big spiel back then for the rails for trails because people.
Yeah, well, that's a different geography. I mean, you're talking about off-road bike trails, which are both actually bike and walking trails. They're mixed use in actuality versus a bike lane on a busy thoroughfare.
Well, that's true. But I will say that I remember them saying that you'll get more people off the roads. It'll be safer for everybody. I remember that was one of the things that they used to tell everybody, which to me made sense. But we're spending all this money on bike paths, which I love. I think they're great. I really do. I think they're excellent for kids and families alike. But our roads are terrible. Wouldn't you rather have these potholes filled or new roads put down before they start striping them? You go down River Road now in North Tonawanda, they'll have a mile-long traffic jam now because they got rid of the lane. It makes no sense, Tom. Common sense is lost in America.
Well, unfortunately, even back in the 1980s, to fully replace 1 mile of road, it cost around $1 million. $1 million back then. So you can probably say, what is it for a mile of new road now? $3 million, $4 million, which is a lot more than it is to paint a bike lane.
Yeah, I noticed that this year, more than any year, is that they're not even filling the potholes in a lot of places. I mean, I'm hitting them all the time on my motorcycle. It's like a death trap out there. It really is. And I don't know how you ride a little bicycle with the tires and hit one of those. You know, you're going to lose your rim or something. You know, but
the roads out there. Yeah, I mean, look, there's so much wrong with the roads and the infrastructure that just never seems to get fixed.
Exactly. And I tell you what, having a bicycle and driving on Sheridan Drive or riding on Sheridan Drive, whatever you want to say, it's too dangerous. It wouldn't catch me doing it. I think, you know, you don't even see that many people doing it. When I go down the Sheridan Drive or River Road, they got these bike paths on the right, and then they got these lanes that they made for the bicyclists, but you never even see anybody using it. Once in a while, you'll see one person that's got the tighties on, you know, going fast, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I mean, look, the market has spoken. And look, people, if they don't feel safe in the bike lane, they're just going to go on the sidewalk. And I don't even remember ever anybody ever being issued a ticket for riding a bike on a sidewalk. But the whole way we get around as a society has changed. I said earlier, people are not playing on their sidewalks anymore in front of their houses in a residential area. And you don't see a lot of pedestrians walking on the sidewalk. So what difference does it make if there's a bike there? I mean, really?
Well,
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate the call, and I apologize for the misunderstanding. Actually, Tanner, who's much younger, who has much more acute hearing than I, he heard the same thing I did. So,
well, you go back and listen for yourself again.
I'm not calling you a liar. I'm calling Tanner and myself brain dead. There's a difference.
Maybe you got to get the hearing checked.
Oh, be quiet, Dan. Nonsense, I say. Nonsense. Have a good day, Dan.
You too. Take care.
Appreciate it, man. Welcome to the show. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. The Attorney General has now signed the order for a grand jury in the Russia hoax. So those of you who want to see indictments and criminal prosecution, if eligible, the step has been taken. So the DOJ has ordered the prosecutor to take evidence to a grand jury relating to that hoax, which goes back to 2016. So that is going to be something very interesting to follow. And by the way, it's also fascinating seeing how the fake news is portraying this. The annex to the report, the Durham report, is being portrayed as, well, this simply shows that DNI Tulsi Gabbard is wrong about everything. Like, there's no, very, very little discussion about Obama and his national security team and what they did. It's all deflection away from that. And in the meantime, a lot of the fake news is saying this is Donald Trump deflecting from Epstein. That's what this is all about. And I don't see it that way. We've talked about this, and I really think that what's going on with Epstein, and look, I could be wrong, but what's going on with that story is the files that came to the Trump administration from the Biden administration were compromised, polluted, and contaminated and seeded with bad information. In other words, they left potholes down which the Trump administration could possibly fall. And when the president emphatically says he wants credible information released, he's making a point. And when he first talked about this, he was talking about credible information, and then he brought up the fake stuff to which he was subjected. So obviously the credibility and the provenance of files is very, very important. But I think what is very fascinating to watch is for years, the Democrats said nothing about the Epstein files. Nothing. It wasn't a big deal. But when they thought that the president might be compromised by the Epstein files, suddenly, and I don't know why they would think that, because they had him in their possession, unless they know that some bad stuff was leaked into the files that was going to make Trump or his friends look bad. That's always a possibility. But now you've got, if the president were simply to have released the Epstein files, people would say, my goodness, why are you doing this? Why did you release this information? And now we can say, well, look, the Democrats wanted me to release it. You're the people who wanted me to release it. How can you be criticizing me now for releasing it? So anyway, that's a different story altogether. But the fake news is portraying the entire conspiracy to impede the will of the American people in 2016 as only a deflection from Epstein, which strikes me as being absolute poppycock. It makes no sense whatsoever. And it is with great interest, I think, we'll be watching the lawsuit the president filed against the Wall Street Journal over the so-called letter that the president wrote for Epstein's birthday, complete with that fine Da Vinci quality drawing of the woman using his signature as, well, you know. So anyway, the Department of Justice will launch a grand jury probe into the Russia hoax. Now, of course, the big question is presidential immunity, because Obama was the one who was calling the shots on this stuff. He was, the buck stops here, and there is the presidential immunity. I think the question really comes in, does presidential immunity cover somebody who was no longer president if the conspiracy continued? So once you leave office, are you still covered by that kind of presidential immunity? And it's just a really interesting time. But how in the world is that going to cover everybody who was involved in this situation? And a lot of the fake news is saying, you know, that the fake news or the deep state doesn't exist. It's just a myth. It's a figment of their imagination. Oh, really? And I saw one guy's quote from one of the intelligence agencies. He was poo-pooing the existence of the deep state. It's like having the fox guard the hen house. But he was poo-pooing the existence of a deep state that was ideologically lobbying for Democrat Party ideals. He said, well, most of these people are Republicans. That's Republican territory. Oh, good Lord. That is total disinformation and dissembling. It isn't Republican territory. It's like any other thing in America. It's split. It's pretty much 50-50. And I have this on very, very, very good authority. And essentially, the way it was explained to me by somebody who would definitely be in a position to know is you've got the so-called white hats or the patriots, and then you've got the people who are part of the cabal. And there is no consensus in the intelligence agencies, just like there's no consensus at FBI over political ideology. And the idea that somehow people are being paranoid when they say there's a deep state is, I think, ludicrous. I mean, I'm sorry, in what world do you get a FISA warrant based on bad information and then spy on a political opponent? Where does that actually, sorry, does that happen in the United States or does that happen in banana republics? So I can't wait to see what the determination of the grand jury happens to be. It wouldn't surprise me to see indictments against one or more people, but I don't know the charges. There may be civil rights charges. Treason, I think, is going to be a very high bar to cross. We talked about this earlier, but in the colloquial way, we may speak of treason and think we know what it means, but the law on treason in the United States is so very, very specific and has to be corroborated by so many facts important to the case that I don't see how they're going to get a treason indictment, and I don't see if they get the indictment, how they're going to get a prosecution successfully done for treason. It seems to me that that is going to be a bridge way too far, but there may be other charges. And I think and I hope that one of the offshoots of this is going to be an accounting and a reckoning of our elections process in the United States, okay? Because remember, in 2016, Hillary Clinton actually got, 3 million more popular votes than Donald J. Trump did. However, the cheaters didn't count on the Electoral College. And the Electoral College, they're the people who actually elect the president with that meeting they have. And I think that the Russia hoax and all these all the information about, oh, Donald Trump is never going to be president, don't worry about it, almost as if they had foreknowledge, is going to be a very good way to introduce to the American people any information that is had by the Trump administration about the election of 2020, which I have never believed that Joe Biden was the winner. I can't prove it to you, but I've never believed it. It made no sense. And it really made no sense when I went to bed on election night and I was being told President Trump has a 65% chance of being reelected. And I waken in the morning to find out that Biden had supposedly won. Like, what? This makes no sense. Guy from his basement? I don't get it. So anyway, it would be a great entree into that. But I'm looking forward to this DOJ probe. I just hope that they don't hide everything. And one of the other things, too, that I would personally like to see, I was talking to somebody over the weekend about this. Now, the president is very big on social media. And in the old days, I don't know whether this would work in 2025, but I'll just put it out there. Somebody over the weekend was saying, you know what the president needs to do? He needs to do what FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, did back in the 30s and 40s. He needs to have fireside chats with the American people. And Roosevelt did, 13, 15 fireside chats over the years with his dog, Falla, near his microphone to explain to the American people what was going on around the world, what was going on at home with the economy, what they were doing to try to correct things, what they would do to try to stay neutral given the aspirations of Nazi Germany in Europe. If you were old enough, you remember those fireside chats. I know my mom certainly remembered the fireside chats. But anyway, obviously today, a fireside chat on the radio is going to be a bit of an anachronism. But a television speech or a television behind the desk of the Oval Office that might not be a bad idea. In other words, take your case directly to the American people without the filter of the fake news. Now, it may be that you don't even need the old school networks anymore. It may be that Trump could simply take the video on Truth Social or X or Facebook or wherever and do an announcement. Let people in on the information without the filter of the fake news via online resources. The Donald Trump podcast. Hey, stranger things have happened. But I think that I'm kind of torn because part of me says, well, the written word of social media is pretty much how people get information today. If they're going to do something like that, that is kind of what people have come to expect. You want to know what Donald Trump has to say, you go to his Truth Social page or his X account and you find out. And if he had something extra to say, you'd probably tune into that to watch it live or read something the moment he said it was going to drop. I'm going to provide information at 8 p.m. I will show you documents to prove what I'm saying. I think people would flock to that. And even doing that, the fake news, I really doubt they're going to give it much coverage because they're the fake news. And it just seems to me that, and that raises another question. How much do you even care about the fake news anymore? There was a time when the 6:30 national news, that was must-see TV. We're going to find out what's happening in the world. But it has lost its credibility. It's lost, basically, it ceased being objective journalism and simply became another vehicle for propaganda, advancing a certain ideology and ridiculing another ideology. But I would like to see the president continue his posts on social media, but part of me wants to see him augment the written word with videos in which he speaks and in which he shows the documentary proof of what he has been saying and what Gabbard has been saying. And of course, I understand that if you're appealing for a grand jury to hear the evidence that you say you have, you don't want to muddy the legal waters. I get that. But there are a lot of people who are expecting some pretty big things to shake out here over the course of the next few months with respect to previous administrations and previous criminality. And if nothing happens, there's going to be a lot of people who think, yep, the swamp won. Yep, the swamp won. Couldn't do it. Couldn't break the hold of the deep state. We're screwed. But yeah, I mean, as far as the national news, we should probably cover this at some point. Like, where do you find, whom do you trust anymore for your national news? And I go to a couple of podcasts every day. The Princess and I devote a lot of time to catching up on what's going on around the country and have found what we consider to be very credible national news sources. May not be for everybody, but we enjoy them greatly. And we don't even bother watching the fake news anymore because it doesn't mean anything to us and we don't think they're telling us the truth. And we'd rather see things that are truthful, and not just because they say they're truthful, but because they show you. They show you why they're making the arguments they're making. And you can decide one way or the other what's true and what isn't true, but I'm not going to waste my time with fake news because why? And speaking of fake news, let me just share something with you. Have you noticed, I'm sure you have, on social media and elsewhere in the media, the artificial content, the AI videos and AI voices? I don't know about you, but I happen to believe that propaganda and control of the message is very, very important in a society. And I guarantee the people running things, they know it as well. You control media, you control people's minds. You control the propaganda narrative, you control people's minds. Sometimes you can even sway opinion. And with fake videos that look real, fake audio that sounds real, we are entering a very interesting period for humanity. Can we even believe our eyes anymore? Because you watch some of these artificial content videos, which show the president in intimate contact with a German shepherd, and maybe not that, and you're thinking, wow, this is real? No, it's not real. And as things, let's put it this way, as the artificial becomes as visually truthful to the naked eye as truth does, that's a real problem. And I don't know what to do about that. Because, again, can we agree that propaganda and information control and control of the narrative are very, very important in determining the public mood? And if the public, including myself, if we don't know anymore what's true and what was made up by a computer, that really muddies the water. And it's something about which we all need to be on guard. If you thought, hey, if you thought things were fake before in social media, now they're already about 10 times worse. What's it going to be like when AI becomes even better than it already is? Like, oh yes, I certainly believe the video of the bear sitting down next to the guy taking his baseball cap and putting it on. Yes, I believe that. By the way, speaking of baseball caps, now this is not going to be a Tony Soprano in the restaurant reference, although I guess I just made one, but there's a guy at a soccer game in St. Louis. He was wearing his Make America Great Again red hat, and he was forced to leave with 25 minutes left in the game. My first thought was, okay, I don't like this, but what are the rules of the stadium? Turns out the rules of the stadium are consistent with throwing the guy out of the stadium. Not a freedom of speech issue. Those are the rules by the stadium itself. So I can't get too bent out of shape over that as long as it's applied down the line. If somebody was wearing a Biden hat or a Kamala Harris hat, as long as they got thrown out too, that would be great. And that would be fair. But I can't really get upset about rules that pre-existed, the team and the stadium enforcing the rules, and yeah, you can't do political stuff here, you got to go. Either take the hat off or leave. And the guy chose to leave because he didn't want to get arrested. But again, if that's the rule, that's the rule. And you got to, you know, respect the rules. And you certainly don't want to wear your baseball cap in the restaurant Tony Soprano is eating in with Artie Bucco. No, you don't want to do that. Thank you. Thank you very much. They took the bleachers out 2 years ago. Anyway, how you doing? It's 426 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It's an innocent obsession, really, I promise. Coming up, do you want to talk a little bit about the wind turbines? And we've spent a lot of time talking about wind turbines and that proposal for Lake Erie, which right now is, well, I wouldn't say it's dead. I'll say it's dormant. It's in hibernation because you know they're going to come back. Can we talk a little bit about the wind turbines that are land-based? I want to find out a little bit more about where you are on those because, as you know, the president has been very adamant lately and very loud about wind turbines, and the fact is he does not like them. And I want to explore it with you on News Radio 930, WBEN at 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Oh, good call, Tanner Saunders at Master Control. Oh, by the way, remember our call with Dan from Tonawanda before? We had to take Dan off the air last week because we thought he used an excremental colloquialism. Actually, the word he said was S-H-I-P, as in piranha. And that's what he said. However, the context in which he said it, it was a little bit debatable in real time, and we're always going to err on the side of caution, okay? So Dan was, I think, right, but I would have done the same thing over again, and so would Tanner have done the same thing over again. So there. Even though it was, the context is what made the mind race. And if our minds raced, believe me, listeners' minds would have raced, and the FCC would have raced as well. And we can't have that now, can we? It is 437 at News Radio 930 WBEN. That is Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney time. And at this point, hey, can we talk a little bit about wind turbines? Tom, how many wind turbine shows are you going to do? Well, we've done a lot of wind turbine shows because of the proposal by NYSERDA to put like 100 wind turbines in Lake Erie from Buffalo to Dunkirk. And the opposition to that was so overwhelming. We didn't get a single caller on any show we ever did on wind turbines in Lake Erie to say, I think this is a grand idea. It's magnificent. I really want the lake to be defaced by these things. And I don't care if eagles are beheaded on a regular basis. Nobody called in to support it. Everybody was against it. And it's unusual to have that kind of unanimity on any topic, but we did. Now, here's the deal. The wind turbines on Lake Erie, it's a dead idea now. Actually, it's a dormant idea now. it's hibernating now. It may look dead, but I know it's not. Because I know, and you know, that the people with the wind agenda, they're going to be back. Because, frankly, we gave the subject much, much attention. And the people catwile the citizens against their quartile. The citizens against wind turbines on Lake Erie, quartile, they did a great job in mobilizing opposition. But again, you have to know your enemy. And these people are relentless. They're never going to fully go away. So at such point in time as there is nobody in media that is going to stand up and say, boy, this is a really crappy idea, and let's explain why it's a crappy idea, they are going to pounce on that like a cat with a laser. Except unlike the cat, they're probably going to succeed in catching their quarry and their prey, which is the lake. And they will defile it with these things. And we've explained a million times why the wind turbines are just a bad idea on Lake Erie. And couldn't find a single person to speak up in favor of the wind turbines on Lake Erie. Just a crappy idea. And actually, as we've talked about in some recent shows and over time, the whole idea to electrify New York State is absolutely absurd. It's absurd. And by the way, it's not people. We have talked on the air with people who obviously have many, many years experience working for one or the other utility in Western New York, specifically in the electrical field. And uniformly, what is every single person, all of them retired, I believe, what have they said? They have said New York State, the electric grid is nowhere close to being ready. That this is a decades-long improvement that will need to be made. And as we talked about not that long ago, look, you're going to pay to upgrade the grid of New York State. The Public Service Commission says the utilities can pass their costs for upgrading the grid to you, the consumer. So bend over, and we're the boss. Enjoy. That's basically what there's. You don't even get dinner first. I'm sorry to break the news to you. But anyway, that's the situation. You're going to be paying for that. You will be paying higher electricity rates because, you know, supply and demand, of course. You'll pay higher rates for peak periods of electricity. You're going to be paying more in school taxes for the electric buses that are going to be mandated. We researched that and made it clear that those electric buses are $300,000 to $450,000 now. What are they going to be like in 3-4 years? They're very expensive. So you're going to get hit with that. And kind of wonder at the end of the day how much money you're going to have left in your pocket. Oh, yeah, and you're going to pay more for your electric heat sources. It's just, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. They want everybody to line up for water when there's not enough in the well to quench the thirst. So what are you going to see? You're going to see rolling blackouts, brownouts. You're going to see rationing of electricity. And as a couple of people pointed out with these smart meters, I'm sure that they're going to use the smart meters to control how cool you can make your home in the summertime. And probably, if you heat with electricity, how warm you can make it in the winter. Provided, of course, a blizzard doesn't take out the power lines and leave you freezing with no other alternative to heat yourself except blankets and a winter coat. Good Lord. How in the world do you have people lining up for water if there's not enough water in the well to quench the thirst? You simply can't do it. It makes absolutely zero sense. Zero sense. And when you consider the costs you are going to have to bear for all of those things that I just mentioned, you are going to be on the hook because of so-called climate change. Because they used to say global warming. And before they had global warming on the agenda, and Joe Beamer played a cut from this from the 1970s before I came on the air, I was laughing, about global freezing. Anybody else remember? We will freeze to death in the dark. That aired right around the time the 1970s energy crisis came around. We will freeze to death in the dark. Well, that morphed into we're going to roast alive, which morphed into climate change. Now, I think I say this pretty much every day. Yes, the climate is changing. You know why? Because the climate has always changed. And there's a surefire way to know that the climate has changed. Take a look at Lake Erie, Lake Ontario. If you're listening in the Finger Lakes, look at your favorite lake. Maybe you're in Hammondsport. Beautiful place. Those lakes exist because the climate changed 15,000 years ago. We had an ice age. The climate warmed up. the glaciers melted. As they retreated, the boulders supposedly carved out the Great Lakes and filled them with our magnificent supply of fresh water. Now, how much carbon footprint were people leaving 15,000 years ago over Western New York? I'm going to go with very, very little, because it's really hard to find something to eat on top of a glacier. Maybe a bit of moss here and there. Certainly not life-sustaining, okay? And climate change happens. Climate change is as natural as the sunrise and the sunset. Do I know why it happens? No, I really don't know why. But do I know that there is ample historical evidence for climate change? Yeah. The ice ages, and it wasn't just one ice age, it was a series of ice ages. So what does that tell you? That tells you the climate is always in a state of flux, okay? It has nothing to do with your car, has nothing to do with your power plant, nothing to do with that. It's happened. It always has happened. So what is the real agenda here? Is it helping out the climate? Well, the climate's going to change no matter what you do because it always has for millions of years. So what's the real agenda? The real agenda is to control you, to have power over you, ultimately to move you into a city and have you on public transportation without your own means of conveyance that will get you anywhere far. And it's all about control. And if they have their way, and this is not an exaggeration, they're going to have you eating bugs. And the mantra of the globalists is, you will own nothing and enjoy it. Meanwhile, they own everything. They've got all the toys. We're just going to be the serfs. We're going to be the peasants. There will be a new age of peasantry if this isn't stopped. I firmly believe that. Power is what power is. Money is what money is. And I don't think that's paranoid ramblings. I think it's just common sense, because you see these bigger trends that are happening. And you got to wonder, when you see something that you really don't understand, you look for the financial interest. And then secondarily, you look for the ideological interest. And there is this spirit of control. And you saw a little bit of it during the pandemic. Actually, you saw a lot of it during the pandemic. And I said it back then as well. Anytime a politician says, I have the power, you have then learned what their driving force behind their career choice is. Anytime a politician says, I have the power, you have to understand that is like an egogasm for them. That's what they get off on. All right. And you got to beware of people who always want to tell you how much power they have, okay? And you also want to beware of people who tell you how smart they are, except Donald Trump. Okay, he gets a pass. But I would never say I'm smart. No, never, never, never. Because the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. It's a never-winning thing. Let's get to Nick in North Tonawanda on WBEN, the home of the Riviera Theater. And I'm just trying to get my cursor to cooperate with me. Nick, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
Welcome to the Lumberjack City, Tom.
I love North Tonawanda.
I hear you're quoting a little bit from the Vernon Coleman book, Agenda 21. That's
actually
very good. But I want to ask
I've not read
question.
That. I have not read it, so if it is a direct quote, it really isn't copyright infringement or plagiarism. I guess it's just certain minds think alike.
You're correct.
I truly have not read the book.
Okay, well, maybe I'll send you a copy.
No, I'm trying to have a book-free zone. I appreciate the offer, but books to me are clutter. Anything I need, I can get online. I do appreciate your kindness, though.
I heard your show about clutter, so I won't do that to you.
Thank you.
Okay. The reason I called you is you were talking about the windmills, and you mentioned NYSERDA, and that's been something I've been monitoring quite a bit. And my electric bill from National Grid used to have a line item, one of the 10 line items on the back under, not under supply, I think it's under delivery.
Yep.
Or no, it's under supply, I think. But anyway, the last 3 months, it's been missing from my bill. And do you know anything about the history of NYSERDA, how the state created this?
I only know about NYSERDA in terms of its drive to put windmills in Lake Erie and contaminate the visual landscape of Lake Erie and the lake bed and the sediment damage that would be done, the bad stuff that would be released if you disturb the sediment. But if you want to get into that, that's fine. Because the larger question that I'm going to put to you guys listening is, the president is on a tear against windmills. Basically, he says the wind turbines are a stupid way to make energy. Not only that, they're ugly. They kill birds, and they're driving whales crazy. I'm inclined to believe that. I am definitely inclined to believe that. If you live near a wind turbine, I got to ask you, really? What do you think of these wind turbines? I suppose if they're on your property and you get a nice check every month, they're okay. They're awesome. But to the ones who aren't, so I always want Verizon to put up a cell phone tower at my place. Like, yeah, okay, great. Okay, I'll take the money. And Nick in North Tonawanda mentioned NYSERDA before, and they are the driving force behind the wind turbines in Lake Erie idea, which is dormant now, but you know it's going to come back.
Yeah, Tom, I attend the North Tonawanda Common Council meetings on occasion, and our mayor at one point in time, about 2 or 3 years ago, proposed that all the citizens, he wanted to have a law that would require all the citizens to be forced out of being supplied electricity by their particular provider, whether it's National Grid, New York State Electric, gas, whatever. And they were going to have a law that says you're all out and you're going to be getting your energy from an environmental company. And you could call an 800 number to opt out, or you could call you could go online and opt out after they forced you out of your electric provider.
Okay, and but you were going to talk about NYSERDA, and for those who don't know what NYSERDA is, and probably it's 98% of the people listening, NYSERDA stands for the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority, and it's a so-called public benefit corporation. It was set up in 1975, and it is supposedly to advance energy innovation and investments to fight climate change, support clean energy adoption, and improve affordability and equity. For New Yorkers, all about equity, except for the taxpaying, honest, non-criminal citizens. But go ahead with your take on NYSERDA.
Exactly. And the bottom line is he brought in three brokers who were three energy companies that were going to get funds from NYSERDA to provide access for the residents to buy their energy from them. And my biggest complaint was, you can't force me out of my current company. You can allow me to opt in, but you can't force me out. He was trying to force us out. They finally gave up on that message. But anyway, I know NYSERDA was created by the New York State legislature, but they're almost like an authority, and they have total control over, they get like 2 or 3% of your electric bill every month, and they can do whatever they want with that money, and they don't answer to anybody. I don't even think they answer to the state legislature anymore. So that's why I was asking you. I'm kind of concerned that they're not on the bill anymore. I wonder if they changed their designation and now they're hiding under a different charge on one of them line items.
I do not know the answer to that question, although I will tell you that National Grid sent me one of those slap on the wrist letters, which is absolutely hilarious because very little energy has been used at my Williamsville home lately. And they sent me a letter saying, you are using 31% more electricity than your neighbors. I'm like, wow, that's really awesome. I'm paying for it. None of your business. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call from North Tonawanda. And think of me as you go by the Riviera, would you?
Yeah, I will. Thank you.
Have a drink for me at Dwyer's, would you? Thank you very much. Yeah, I've been to North Tonawanda. Of course, I've lived in North Tonawanda virtually. It is 4:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN. So I want to talk about the whole wind turbine thing, because land-based wind turbines. We spent a lot of time talking about the Lake Erie situation and why it was just a crappy idea. And all the shows we did on the wind turbines in the lake, again, not one person called in to say, I fully support these wind turbines in the lake. If universally everybody thinks it's a bad idea, we need to band together, because I will tell you, NYSERDA is going to be back at some point with what is now a dormant idea. It is going to revivify. You know what is it? It's like an iguana in Florida. If it gets cold enough, the iguanas in Florida freeze and fall to the ground from the trees because they're arboreal. And then they thaw out and they come back to life. And that's what this wind turbine idea is for Lake Erie. Right now, it's a dormant iguana, but at such point as the climate is favorable to reinitiating the idea, they're going to bring it back to life. Mark my words. I may be gone by then, but I guarantee it's going to happen. It's 4:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN. We'll also hear what the president has to say about wind turbines. He is not abashed to express his opinion. All right. Thank you, Mr. Announcer. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hope you had a great weekend and a fine Monday. Back to work. Yeah. But anyway, great of you to join us. And talking right now, I want to get into the wind turbines. And we've done a lot of shows on wind turbines on Lake Erie. And that idea is dormant. But I promise it will come back when they think they can bring it back and actually push them through. So you always have to be vigilant. As long as groups like Cautile are active and vibrant, they will be able to generate opposition. But if Cautile wasn't around, if certain radio talk show hosts weren't around, I bet those wind turbines would have been put in on the lake. And you'd say, hey, how did this happen? They're ugly. But we were here for you. Okay, we had your back on this one. But beware the future. Now, wind turbines on land are something altogether different. And I want to get your take on the wind turbines on land. Because the president of the United States, he is absolutely not in favor of wind energy. And frankly, I think there are a lot of reasons not to be in favor of wind energy. Unless, of course, you have property and you're getting a nice check every month from the wind companies. Good for you. But let's hear what President Trump had to say about wind energy and the scam.
And, you know, you can talk about windmills. They litter our country. They're littered all over our country, like dropping paper, like dropping garbage in a field. And that's what happens to them, because in a period of time, they turn to garbage. Most expensive energy ever. They only work if you get subsidy. The only people that want them are the people that are getting rich off windmills, getting massive subsidies from the U.S. government. And it's the most expensive energy there is. It's many, many times more expensive than clean natural gas. So we're going to try and have a policy where no windmills are being built. You know, off the coast of New Jersey, they want to build like 200 windmills. The people are going crazy. Nobody wants them, and they're very expensive. They don't work without subsidy. You don't want energy that needs subsidy. Energy is a good business. You don't need subsidy. But when you build these massive towers, I mean, they're 25 stories tall, 40 stories. They have one 70 stories tall. The blades, they take three ships to ship them. It's crazy. They're dangerous. You see what's happening up in the Massachusetts area with the whales, where they had two whales wash ashore in, I think, a 17-year period. And now they had 14 this season. The windmills are driving the whales crazy, obviously. And they had actually over, I think, 125 or something over a number of years. And we don't want that to happen. It's a disaster. It's amazing the way a true environmentalist would say, oh, we love wind. It sounds good, but that's about where it ends. You know, after 10 years, you have to redo them. And what happens is they don't do that. They let them stand and they rust. And they say, because of the environment, I'm not a believer in this, but they say you can, because it's a certain fiberglass, that the blades cannot be buried in earth, that that's an environment. So what do you do with them? What do you do with them? And I don't know if you've ever gone to Palm Springs, California, or any of these places where you have long-term windmills standing. They're a disaster. They're rusting, rotting, closed, falling down. This is as you enter Palm Springs. And they put new ones next to them because nobody wants to take them down, because why should they take them down? It's very expensive to take them down. And you can't do anything with them because the blades, you can't bury them because of the environmental protection. We'll look at that. Doesn't make sense, but that's what they say.
Yeah, I mean, are you in favor of a ban on any additional wind turbines, whether it's in Western New York or across the country? The blades, I mean, these things have a limited lifespan, and they don't decompose. They don't biodegrade. How is that good for the environment? And I know that some of you are thinking, well, President Trump, he's lying about the whales because he's looking at one variable to the exclusion of all other variables. Really? Because whales actually can hear underwater. A whale, ask your submariner friend, whales are low frequency people. They're low frequency specialists because the whales, like the humpback, the fin, the blue, they hear best in the 10 hertz to 8 kilohertz range. That overlaps with low frequency sounds from pile driving, the traffic noise made by vessels and turbine operation. Something else you might not know, that sound actually goes farther underwater. Low frequency sounds actually travel tens to even hundreds of miles in the ocean with little diminishment. So yes, even distant wind turbines can be audible to whales. So the president is not a freak when it comes to saying the whales are being driven crazy by the wind turbines. It is absolutely a very plausible and likely explanation. Why would you have two whales in a 17 period and then 14 whales this season alone washing up in Massachusetts? Wind turbines? Sounds pretty likely to me. By the way, the wind turbines are very, well, there are a number of things on land that are issues with wind turbines. And trying to get a sense from you on where you are with wind energy. Is the president right or wrong to say, hey, I don't want to see any more wind turbines? And look, they only generate electricity when the wind is blowing, and the wind is more likely to blow at night than it is during the daytime. Obviously, along the lake, that may be a little bit different. And frankly, Buffalo is one of the windiest cities in the United States. Top 10 windy city, top 10 cloudy city. Just in case you wanted a fun fact for the day. 803-0930 is your phone number. 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. The president says the land-based wind turbines, they're like litter. They're like garbage in farm fields. They're the most expensive energy there is. And he's right. They cannot exist without subsidies. Well, they're getting government subsidies. Well, what does that mean? That means that your money is taken from your paycheck and it goes to the government. And the government then gives it to the wind companies, the turbine companies, as subsidies. Okay? You are subsidizing with your money taken from your family wind turbines. So how is that an effective way of generating energy? See, you're getting screwed no matter what you do. Okay? Especially with New York State, you're going to pay for the updating of the electric grid. You're going to pay for the electric school buses with your increased school taxes. It never ends. It never ends. All in the name, and I cannot stress this enough, all in the name of climate change, which is going to happen anyway. There's nothing you can do about it. You know how you know that? Because that's what history says. Ice ages and periods of warming have happened throughout the millennia of human history. Recorded human history, not to mention prehistory. Good Lord. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. You think you find trilobites along the lakeshore because it didn't used to be covered by water? Here is John on WBEN in Brockton, Chautauqua County, checking in. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
You are more than welcome.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Very well.
Yeah, I had solar power installed on April. We started on our project, and here it is in August, and we're still not connected with a smart meter to the house. And I've had 8 appointments since mid-July to have the new smart meter put in, and I have to call each day to National Grid to get a new appointment for the smart meter.
Now, was the smart meter the only option you had? Couldn't you have gotten the analog meter and paid the extra money every month?
We have an analog meter. They're talking about putting a net meter in.
But why do you want the new meter? You'll have to explain that to me.
Because in order to get credit back for having all the panels, the meter has to read the electricity output, and I get sent back to National Grid or whoever, and I get credited on the next month's bill. It's kind of like a bank account.
So they put that carrot in front of you. We're going to bring down your power rates, but then the stick is, but you got to have the smart meter. And the people who have called in, I'm trying to think if we've had a single person saying, I love my smart meter. Maybe one.
Yep. I've had nothing but aggravation trying to get this meter in. I've contacted Nick Langworthy, Four for Action. I'm trying to get some movement, and all I can talk to is customer service reps at National Grid.
Well, I mean, it's a little bit off topic for what we're talking about today, But it is interesting nonetheless. It's kind of funny because you need to get the smart meter and you're trying to get an appointment to get the smart meter. Most people don't want the smart meter, at least the people with whom I have spoken. It's kind of like the people who want to get pregnant can never get pregnant. The ones who already have 18 kids, every time, pregnant again, pregnant again, pregnant again. If you don't want a kid, you're going to get pregnant. If you want a kid, good luck. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Good luck good luck getting your smart meter. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Do wind turbines on the land, are they a source of anger for you? Do you think that's an effective way to generate energy? How can it be effective if the only way it can work is if taxpayer money is used to give them money to cover the losses? That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. And natural gas, hello. And by the way, speaking of natural gas, you can't go for natural gas in New York State the way most places are able to get their natural gas. And you ever think like your hands are being tied behind your back by government and it's basically just a scam to screw you out of as much as possible and control you as much as possible? Because I believe that. And the wind turbines, if you live near a wind turbine, can you answer a question for me? Any evidence that birds are being pureed on a regular basis? Any evidence that the wind turbine is badly, or is it affecting your health at all? Do you hear it at night? Are you dreaming of wind turbines? I'm trapped on a propeller and I can't stop. Something like that would be really alarming. But to live near a wind turbine, does it, in your mind, does it justify saying, you know what, I don't want these things anymore? Or are you saying, I love them or they don't bother me at all? Personally, aesthetically, I think they're kind of ugly, especially when you have multiple wind turbines in a congested area. Like, okay, I used to like seeing the contour of the hill. Now I'm seeing the contour of these hideous machines. Good Lord. I thought these people were about the environment. They've destroyed the aesthetic environment. Isn't that part of the environment? 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Wind turbines. The president has been on a tear against wind turbines. And of course, the fake news is using all of the pejorative terms for Donald Trump and his views on wind turbines as they can possibly generate to try to make him look like, for example, they called one of his remarks a tirade against wind turbines. How about an impassioned plea? See what you can do with language? Something can be a tirade or it can be an impassioned plea. I bet that if it was going in favor of a left-wing cause, it would be an impassioned plea. But it's Trump, and it's a tirade. Language influences thought. But the wind turbines, I've come to a point where I'm not in favor of these things. I mean, you've got bird mortality, bat mortality, and my understanding is that those huge blades really do a number on a lot of migratory birds, the raptors, and bats, too. And by the way, colony collapse disorder in bats is a real thing. Let me ask you a question. Are you seeing as many bats as you used to on the Amherst bike trail or on that little path in Williamsville by the railroad car that is no longer in use? Hope it's not in use because it ain't going anywhere. But are you seeing as many bats? Because the bat population is, I'm into, like, I like watching birds, okay? And the bird population in 2025, not what it was in 2010, walking around, just saying. Habitat disruption caused by the land-based wind turbines. You got to clear the land, roads, transmission lines, and you're going to fragment habitats for wildlife, all in the name of the environment. How is that environmental? You're putting up a shopping mall and did that, the environmentals would be all over you. It affects soil and water because some terrains, they do the foundation work and the access roads cause erosion. And the local water drainage patterns can be affected. And by the way, the water drainage, that's one of the reasons why the lake gets constantly fecalized, because you're getting farm runoff, especially after a big rainstorm, okay? It's visual pollution. Is there anybody listening who says to themselves, what a pretty wind turbine. I'm really glad they put all those wind turbines up on that hill, because it was getting boring just looking at nature. Now we've got this monstrosity on top of the hill. And look, there's his twin brothers. Oh. So I think, personally, I think they're aesthetically unpleasing. You can see them from Mars, maybe. They certainly alter the landscape. And I think the wind turbines reduce the beauty, the natural rural beauty of Western New York and anywhere else where they are implanted. Now, how about shadow flicker? Haven't talked about that yet. The rotating blades can cast moving shadows into nearby homes. That's why I asked those of you who live near a windmill for your thoughts, because you can speak far better than I as far as the daily experience of living next to a wind turbine. So the shadow flicker can be distracting or stressful for some people. Now consider this. At the Erie County Fair, they're putting the they're having special areas set aside for people who are very sensitive and easily overstimulated. What if you were oversensitive and overly stimulated compared to the normal person or the average person, and they put a wind turbine next to your home? Is that going to send you into some degree of lunacy? You get the low frequency whooshing. It's whooshing. And the mechanical hums, and they can travel a long way away, and they can be very disturbing, again, from what I hear. Also, if you are near wind turbines, and a lot of them in particular, it looks like your property value is going to go down. These things require an enormous footprint to put them up into the land. And also, as I mentioned earlier, wind power only produces power when it is blowing, and usually, in most places anyway, that's at night when demand is low. And even with these ugly wind turbines, you still need backup. You still need fossil fuel or nuclear for when the wind drops. So what are you really gaining? And the wind, as you might have noticed, it's not a steady velocity. It varies. It fluctuates. So if you have the rapid fluctuations in wind output, well, that can actually destabilize electrical grids if you don't balance them with other sources. And as President Trump pointed out, these wind turbines are not financially viable unless they take your money and use those to make up the shortfall. So you have to ask, as I do with everything, what is the cost and what is the benefit? And I don't think these things pass muster. I really don't. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Wind turbines. Yes or no? Are you with the president or is he a lunatic? And by the way, I think that whale thing is a great argument. And I looked into that, obviously, and he's absolutely right. What other factor would cause whales? Knowing now what you know about whales and low frequencies and the distance of underwater sounds, does it sound so crazy? Yeah, I don't think so. News Radio 930, WBEN.
Oh, Tanner, listen to you pulling wind songs out of your nether regions. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Wind, nether regions. I'm seeing a connection. Anyway, talking about wind turbines, and we've done a lot of shows about the wind turbine in Lake Erie idea. 100 of them from Buffalo to Dunkirk. Yeah, not in favor, and nobody was when we did the shows with the people from Cautile and Jim Hanley and Sharon and everybody. It was a bad idea, but you know one thing about bad ideas in New York State, they only go dormant. They never quite die, and you know they're going to be back with that one. But in light of the president talking about wind turbines an awful lot last week, and I'm glad he is, because we need to have an intelligent, rational decision about wind turbines, because I don't really think they're the answer. How can they be the answer? Just look at it this way. In a market economy in particular, how can they be the answer when they need your money just to survive? Anything that needs your money to survive, why in the hell are you paying money for, frankly, other people's electrical indulgences? And the bigger picture is New York State, the left of New York State, which controls New York State, they're on this big push, and it looks like they're going to succeed, to electrify New York. Natural gas is on the downfall in New York State. By the way, I don't know that our gas suppliers have really been as vocal as they should be about the assault on their business. It's almost like they've given up in some kind of a quiet French
acquiescence to being taken over. I'm just saying, that's my impression of it anyway, as a guy just watching from the outside. Like, okay, if I was the gas companies, I think I'd be a little more vocal, and I think I would be talking about the benefits of my product more than I would be talking about the environment and climate change. And again, I cannot stress this enough, and I know I mention this an awful lot, but it really has to be stated, because I don't hear enough of this in the fake news, when I choose to check out fake news, that climate change is something that has been on this planet since this planet existed. I can prove it to you. Lake Erie, Lake Ontario, the Finger Lakes, the escarpment. Why do we have those? Because Western New York was covered with a mile-high glacier just 15,000 years ago, and global warming came along, melted the glacier from that ice age, and that put the finishing touches on the Great Lakes and the Finger Lakes. That's why we have the topography in Western New York we have. The glaciers melted, in particular the one 15,000 years ago. Now, I'm sorry, were you driving 15,000? Were your cavemen ancestors, were they driving? Were they using flying cars? Did they have their private jets? I really don't think so. So what does that tell you? Especially because we've had multiple ice ages, and geez, even a big flood way back when. And if you're not really into the whole Noah story, there's a corresponding story of Gilgamesh. I mean, there was a big flood on the earth at one point, at least parts of the earth where they knew how to write to preserve it. There was a big flood. Was that climate change caused by man? Well, what was that? What exactly was that? So don't buy it. Just remember something. And Joe Beamer, I'm so glad he played the audio from the 1970s earlier today. In the 1970s, and I know because I was there, and I remember it because I was a kid, before I addled my brain. But in the 70s, the big push was global freezing. I think they actually aired the show in the winter, if I'm not mistaken, for added impact. I got to look that up. It was called We Will Freeze to Death in the Dark. So just remember, in my lifetime, and maybe in yours, they were talking about all of us freezing to death. We're going to freeze to death. Then it became global warming. But enough people started waking up to that and saying, wait a minute, what are you talking about global? So then they called it climate change. It's like they have thrown so much at the wall. It's like, let's throw freezing at them, and it slides down the wall. Okay, let's throw warming at them, slides down the wall. Now let's throw climate change at them. That's not going to slide down the wall. And it's not going to slide down the wall because I'm here to say, yeah, climate change is real. And it's been going on ever since the earth was formed. Or, if you prefer, since God made the earth. So, you really think you're responsible? It's going to happen no matter what you do. We're going to have climate change. That's what the earth is. The earth is not some constant, stable as the northern star entity. It's a very dynamic place. Things change all the time. Have you ever heard of Pangaea? Fine group, Tom. Didn't know you were into that kind of... No. Pangaea is the fact, or the existence of a single continent, a single land mass on planet Earth. And what happened because of the tectonic plates and the movement thereof is the world of one land mass broke apart into the land masses we know now. And guess what? Those plates still move. You might be able to walk to Australia sometime in the next few million years. You never know. See a kangaroo. Anyway, but climate change actually happens because the earth is a dynamic place and we'd like to think that we can control it. Really? I mean, I'm sorry, but if man caused it, how come we had so many ice ages and melting of ice ages over the years? Why? Why? Why do you find trilobites on what is now dry land? Because it used to be covered by water. What happened? Climate change. You don't have to be smart to figure this out, because I'm pretty stupid and I got this down. All right. And I did a lot of research before the show. Not going to lie, a lot. I do every single day, every single night. You have no idea what I put into this show. The single most important thing I did today prior to coming on the air was listen to Cheech and Chong's Blind Melon Chitlin. I found no use for that during the show today, but it did make me laugh again after 30 years. Here is Greg in Phoenix, Arizona on WBEN. Really big in Phoenix. Yeah, hello, Phoenix. Greg, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. I was born and raised in Buffalo area. Lived in Tonawanda.
Yes. We know your full resume, sir. You told us the last time. We did our research and put our investigators
on. Remember.
We have good spies here. Yes.
Yeah. I Living in California, the last time I drove through that after living 1975 to 2023, that area is in what's known as the Cabazon Pass. And to be honest, it's not useful for much else. Now, I don't know anything about the cost factor. I haven't researched that. I can tell you California has struggled creating power. They regularly have brownouts. So it's also struggling to retain its population. Yes, they are. We are several of the probably a couple dozen families that I know that have moved out in the past couple of years.
Well, you're not the only people. Look, people are leaving the blue states. There is a mass migration underway in America. New York and California lead the way. And when people leave a blue state, they typically are going for a red state. And one of the issues that people in the red states have, these idiots who come to a red state because they can't take the blue state anymore, are bringing their left-wing politics with them that got them out of the state in which they were born anyway. Like, what's wrong with you?
Yes. Unfortunately, my daughter had her car keyed when she first moved to Phoenix. And we told people immediately, we're not bringing the blue state politics. We're conservative. The reason we left is because of the political atmosphere in California. They just do not know what they're doing. They're wrecking what I consider an absolutely gorgeous state. I've driven north to south numerous times. It's really pretty. Now, I miss Buffalo in the summertime. It's 109 here. So cool weather.
It's a dry heat.
Hey, I've got something really quick as to why the climate change and the Ice Age ended. I know all about the Finger Lakes and Buffalo and the Ice Age and everything. So here it is. The cavemen put dinosaurs on barbecues. And so, that heated up the atmosphere and melted the ice.
Well, as far as I know, sir, the dinosaurs were long gone by the time Homo sapiens, whether cavemen, Neanderthals, or early modern humans, were walking around this planet, which has been for roughly 100,000 years.
Yeah, I know. All right, I just wanted to.
But it was a good one, though. I'm not going to lie. I appreciate the effort. I applaud it. Yep. So, yes, cavemen were grilling dinosaurs. They were grilling dinosaurs. Oh, by the way, if you want to mention animals, do you want to hear something really horrible? I guess I haven't really given you a chance. Do you want to hear something I thought was absolutely horrible? And it was just, are you sure? Can you handle it? Can you handle the truth?
I can handle, yes, I'm actually in my car, but I'm pulled to the side of the road.
If you're in Arizona, are you dodging these, the tumbleweeds and roadrunners that we mentioned last week?
I live in the city of Phoenix, so that's been gone quite a number of decades. But yeah, you get out of the middle of nowhere and we get some pretty bad dust storms every few years. So that's kind of living in the desert is like. Anyway, your story.
In Denmark, this is hideous. I would like to see what Gina Latuka has to say about this from the SPCA serving Erie County. There's a zoo in Denmark. It needs food for its predators, such as lions, big cats. Do you know what this zoo in Denmark is asking people to do? I kid you not. This is on the Odyssey News page. Odyssey, a reliable source, not fake news. They want people. I cannot believe I'm actually reading this from Denmark, of all places. Then again, they did give us the Vikings and Hamlet. this zoo in Denmark wants people to donate unwanted pets so the zoo can feed the unwanted pets to its predators.
You're kidding.
No, I am deadly serious.
We got two dogs. I cannot imagine giving two dogs to someone to feed them to predators. That's really bothersome.
I don't care if a dog bit my manhood off. I'm not feeding it to the lions. I don't care that my cat scratched me down to the bone once. I would never feed it to the lions. On the other hand, I was thinking, how about unwanted spouse? Unwanted mother-in-law.
Yeah, you get that on tape and you get in trouble.
I'm being highly facetious.
I know. I'm kidding also. Yeah.
The princess, by the way, she would just be a bony meal. She's got no meat on her whatsoever.
Yeah, as far as ravenous animals, I don't remember if it was Churchill that said something like, giving meat to a tiger today won't make him a vegetarian tomorrow. And it was done in the aspect of as ambassadors trying to get Hitler to change his mind, and Chamberlain comes and feeds him some territory and comes back and says, here, Hitler signed a deal. It gave some land to him and it didn't change him. And so
you know.
Well, the thing about the people at the Munich conference who gave up Czechoslovakia, consider this for a moment. You had people from the UK and Great Britain and elsewhere who basically gave away land they didn't own, known as Czechoslovakia. How does that work exactly?
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway,
and by the way,
really
Hitler. And by the way, Hitler referred to that meeting in later years when he made the decision to go to war against Poland in 1939. He said, "I saw my enemies at Munich. They were little worms."
Yeah. They
so
were
if
weak.
You act like a little worm.
I'm very glad we have a strong president right now who is unwilling. I hope we don't get any confrontation with Putin and Russia. With the movement of the nuclear subs, and apparently he's taken a squadron of Air Force fighters and moved them closer to North Korea. I don't like saber rattling. I served in the Army for 3 years. War is a horrible thing, and we need to do everything we can to avoid it. However, we need to be strong also. So I sure hope they get this all fixed.
Well, I know this much. If Iran tries to capture any Navy personnel, I believe it might be a little different this time.
It will. We have a different commander-in-chief, thankfully.
Exactly.
So.
All right, thank you for the call from Phoenix. Right, I appreciate it. Get down to Tombstone and have a sandwich at Big Nose Kate's, would you?
Hey, I have not, but I'll try that. Big Nose Kate's in Tucson. Thank you for the tip.
Yeah. Check out the birdcage as well. All right, I appreciate it. By the way, something else Churchill said about tigers, supposedly. He supposedly said, I only know this because it was in the movie, with Gary Oldman about Churchill. And he said, you cannot negotiate with a tiger with your head in its mouth. Yes, probably a bad time to initiate conversation. It's a little bit too late at that point. I'd never heard the quote before about, what our caller from Phoenix had to say, Churchill said, also involving a tiger. But the Munich conference with Mussolini, Hitler, was it Delage? There was a guy from France and Great Britain, and basically... You got these guys from France and Great Britain saying, okay, you can take the Sudetenland of Czechoslovakia. Okay, it wasn't theirs to give away. And then Hitler took the Sudetenland, and then he took the rest of Czechoslovakia because he knew he could. And that's why he went into Poland. He didn't think the French and the British were going to do anything about it. Because, as I said earlier, he saw his enemies at Munich, and they were little worms. They projected themselves as girly men, type B men, and they got what type B men usually get. Has nothing to do with height. You can be short and you can still be a type A, you know, manly man. I know a lot about that. Anyway, by the way, getting back to the wind turbine situation, you know, for every megawatt of power capacity, a natural gas power plant requires about 1 ton of critical minerals. Onshore wind plants require 11 tons. We really have to reconsider our tax dollars going to subsidize wind turbines. And all of this so-called green energy nonsense, I think it's a scam, an absolute scam. If you can't make it in the market on your own merits, you don't make it. That's like every other business ever. Hello? Anyway, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for the calls. Appreciate it. Thanks to Tanner Saunders for a perfect game. And he said he heard me drop something in the background right after I said, you want to hear something horrible? That was my cell phone dropping. I did not realize it was going to be that loud. I'd like to say that I did it on purpose, but I had to find the article about this zoo in Denmark wanting people to bring their unwanted pets to it so they can feed it to their predators. I mean, really? That's so wrong, man. So wrong. I do think it would be interesting to bring your unwanted spouse. I'm not going to lie. That'd be something, you know? Just saying. People would probably do that more than they would their pets, their fur babies. Let me vomit here. Excuse me. 5:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Does that expression get to me? Got to my mom and she passed it on to me.